Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hey, you made it. Glad to have you with us. Welcome to the Social, everybody. And please get comfortable. This outfit, by the way, is for our first chat, in case you're wondering.
She's talking about, yep, the Grammy nominations are out. And as usual, there's been lots of snubs and surprises. So we're going to get right to it, starting with Jon Batiste, who leads with a staggering 11 nominations. I mean, I think a lot of people aren't even aware of Jon Batiste. So were you surprised by this?
There's a good amount of our audience that's like, I'm sorry, who?
Yep.
Pardon?
Who? Pardon? And he, of course, leads the band on Stephen Colbert's nightly show. I think that's how many people would
And
know.
You see him there at the Oscars, for which, you know, he was nominated last year for Soul, right? It's a big movie.
Yes.
And so, yes, a worthy nominee. I think my question is, 11?
It's a lot.
11?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
The Weeknd called from last year and said, huh? That's what he said. Listen, I have to bring up The Weeknd because we recall last year at our Grammys chat or the Grammy nominations day, that The Weeknd was completely snubbed, and he had probably, arguably, one of the best albums of the year. Mm-hmm. So I think when you look at Jon Batiste, who, listen, wonderful artist, like you said, 11 nominations, and The Weeknd is probably sitting there going, okay, see, this is why I don't submit, because he's lovely, but what about the rest of us?
I'll tell you what I'm all pumped up about with my 53rd birthday coming up. Record of the year, Tony Randall and ABBA. The oldies, baby, the oldies get it. I am the dancing queen. I'm just so excited to see somebody who's, you know, not fresh out of puberty.
Did I understand that this is ABBA's very first nomination?
Yeah, which is crazy.
I think you mean Tony Bennett, correct?
Yeah, what did I say?
Tony Randall.
Oh, yeah, sorry, not the guy having kids late into it.
But you're right. I mean, this is the thing about the Grammys is that it's a whole mixed bag, right? They're trying to appeal to a wide swath of age ranges. I think it still skews quite old, even though there are a lot of people on this nomination list that I don't know. But I don't know. The Grammys always has this kind of wonky fit where it's trying to do kind of every musical interest and genre and whatever. And I don't know that they've done it always very successfully. I will say I was surprised to see Chris Cornell on the list of best performance. He, of course, was the lead frontman for Soundgarden, and he passed away a few years ago, but he did put out an album posthumously, and his performance for Nothing Compares to You, a Prince cover, and I actually didn't even know that that had been done, so I was delighted to see that. I was delighted to look
at it.
It's
so good.
And then, of course, we have to do a shout-out to Lil Nas X. Like, I mean, that guy is just incredible. Montero,
Breaking the mold,
name. This video was so incredible and so controversial. He is only, is he 22, 23?
He's a baby.
Old Town Road came out in 2018. I didn't understand it at first. I was like, what is this song? And now I can't help it. I love him. And I just think he's out, he's proud, he's pushing boundaries. And I just think this is it's a huge win already for the LGBTQ+ community. Mm-hmm. And for also for like, you know, you think about the amount of problematic Americans are all right now in the realms of race and sexuality. I just think he's so wonderfully in your
face. And how pressed they were over that video.
Yeah.
Remember?
Lots of pearl clutch.
Industry
baby and all of that.
It is,
I mean, country, huh? That's the other part, is that you see some genres that are practically not represented. And I remember growing up and watching the Grammys, and there was always the country, lots of country. and no disrespect if you like it. That wasn't my thing. I never grew up with that. But I just feel like over the years, and certainly this year, there's almost no country to be found.
Do you know when I was a little kid, I actually thought that old people listened to country music, young people listened to rock music. Like, I thought that was just how it was. And what I find really weird now is I talk in schools a lot, and the fact that I'm a metalhead, people are like, oh, yeah, my grandma. And they're like, oh, yeah, you got tattoos like my grandma. I'm like,
It's kind of a good point. What you brought up about ABBA, like ABBA receiving their first nominations, not during Mamma Mia, Waterloo, all the songs when ABBA was, you know, that kind of music was the trend.
Yeah.
Back then, the Grammys weren't noticing ABBA. They're noticing ABBA in their, like, retirement years, which speaks to what the criticism of the Recording Academy has been and the actual Grammys broadcast, that it is for a person of a certain age, yeah. of a certain lane, that it, like, and that is the generational disconnect. I hear you. It's a hard job to honor all kinds of music, as you were saying, Cynthia. But at the same time, they kind of want their cake, and they want to have their cake and eat it too, which means they want to satisfy the oldies, but they also want the clout and the street cred from the young kids. They want the social media activity.
Yeah.
They want to be trending on Twitter. Of course they want to trend on Twitter. They complain about their ratings. Well, no one's tuning in. They want the advertising demo, which is that sweet spot, 25 to 45. Sorry, but like the 25 to 45 year old is not really tuning in. Can't wait to see Tony Bennett and ABBA. Like, no, like, I
not
love them.
Not tuning into TV at
but,
all,
like, they're not, yeah.
They're not even tuning to TV.
So it's a weird thing, like, this whole process.
It does, I mean, we've spoken about this before, but it does speak to the overall prestige of the show. And over the years of artists like Drake and Justin Bieber and now The Weeknd and many more, sort of that younger, hot set speaking out against the institution. And I think that over the years, it's definitely eroded, at least for me as a viewer and a fan, it's definitely eroded the prestige of what the Grammys represent. It used to be the thing. You needed to have a Grammy. And I think certainly for a lot of people it still is, but maybe only in some key categories. Like if you're best new artist, that might catapult your career versus sink it. But I think overall as a show, they're at a really difficult place,
I think. It's a long show, too. It's a three-hour show, and they need to, like, balance it out. I don't know. They have to balance it out. Like you were saying, you always have the country performer. Right? And they mash it up with some
rock and roller. Last year they did a better job of mixing.
I
feel like they did a kind of good mix. And that was COVID times too. They did some interesting things. So I will watch.
But
I might fast forward through parts.
I think our friends at home are going to be surprised to know that the Grammys and every other awards show, people pay. You pay to get nominated. Like, I think the general public doesn't realize that it doesn't. You're not buying a nomination, but to even be considered, you have to put your application forward and it costs money. So that's why independent filmmakers, independent musicians can never be in the same level because they don't have the money to put forward.
Yeah, they don't have that big old
studio.
Hate to
bust the bubble at home.
I know. A little knowledge drop right there.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll be partying after you turn 50 years old? The Telegraph spoke with several people hitting the clubs in midlife and loving it. Candy. You said that your birthday is December 4th. You are turning 53 next week. So what do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't like a club goer when I was young, but I love a good tavern. I like to go and have a beer and listen to blues. But what this made me think about is my parents, who had no social life, when all of their kids, because they started having kids at 18, finished at 43, when I finally was starting to grow up, when they turned 60, they took dance lessons and they joined the Golden Age Club. Aww. And every Friday night, they went to the dance at the Golden Age Club, where I would go sometimes to cut a rug with my dad. And when my mom took a stroke at 69, they couldn't do it anymore. But until the day she died, she said, the best decade of my life when we went out on Friday nights and danced at the Golden Age Club. So don't hold back whatever age you are.
I think that's a different kind of club than the one Mel's hitting
now. I think so,
too. Well, that's what I was going to say is that I think people have maybe one concept of what a club is. And in fact, there's something for everybody out there. And listen, it might not be your bag. It's my bag. Your mom and I probably would have gotten along real well. But yeah, I did all kinds of clubbing, but it's whether it was the big clubs. And I think now there's sort of smaller lounge clubs that really cater to like a 40 plus crowd. Like I'm not going and rolling. Oh my gosh, I just remembered a story. Somebody I used to work for when I was bartending in those clubs. I'm just going to say one word, government. Downtown Toronto.
Hey. Yeah, where you blow sticks at, my friends. Where you, Kwame knows
big
where I'm going
style.
With this.
Yeah. So there was that kind of club. And then so I texted him and I said, there's this new club in Toronto. It looked like it was really cool. Is it safe to go? What's the age? And I texted the owner and he said, honey, not for people your age. And I'll tell you something.
This is recently?
Recently. And I actually was like, no, I appreciate that. I do not want to be the 44-year-old where the 19 and 20-year-olds. So no, I'm not going to be clubbing in those clubs when I'm 50, but there's a lot for us 40-plus where you can still get the music, the nostalgia, the outfits,
all of the things. It bothers you when people say that, though. It didn't bother you when he said it?
No, because he knew exactly what, he knew what kind of scene I was looking for. There's a scene for anything that you want, at least in this city, which we're really lucky about. But what's dancing? It's like, it's stress relief. It's camaraderie. It's nostalgia. There's nothing better than a retro night with your friends and your family. Like, that's what I do it for.
That's what I love about a blues club.
Yeah.
Blues club transcends age. It's a feel. You go to the blues club, people from all different ages, but we're all in the same feel.
Stephanie on Facebook agrees with you. She says life doesn't come with the best before date. If grandma wants to hit the clubs in a scandalous dress and sip on a gin and tonic, I want to be her friend. If she prefers to hit the bingo hall, I'm down for that too. Do what makes your heart happy. Stephanie, thank you for that. I think that's very inclusive. I mean, I definitely feel like I've always been an old lady when it comes to this, if that's what we, like, I have never liked the club. I'm definitely the pub kind of person. And I think though that if you ask like a 19-year-old if they think that there's an age, a best before date, they would probably say, we probably in our 19-year-old, don't you remember ever being at a club and seeing somebody who was...
Someone come with their mom. I've seen that when I was younger.
Okay, that is next level.
I hear what you're saying, but that 19-year-old doesn't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
I've been 19. I probably judged older people going to the club. I like the club once in a while, not as much as you, but I do like the club. But here's the thing. The club is better when you're older. When you're 19 or 20, you're broke. Yep. You have to take the bus to the club. The most janky experience ever. You don't know anybody, so you have to wait in line. Presumably, as you're older, our age, we know people. I am not standing in a line. Someone is letting me in. I'm bypassing. Then I'm going to a booth. In the booth is where the 19-year-olds are staring at me, wishing they could be in my booth.
Affording what you're drinking.
That's the thing. Also, the clubs we go to, no offense, 19-year-olds, have not nasty bathrooms. Like, when you're 19, you can only afford to go to the kinds of clubs where the drinks are $2.50, meaning the bathroom is where the $2.50 drinks end up.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So I think clubbing as an art form was actually made for people who are, hopefully, at a certain point in their life where they're financially secure, a little bit more comfortable, where you can roll up, no line, no bus, no taxi, no Uber, no puke in the whatever, and in the booth. Thank you. So look at me in the booth, 19-year-old, and you can say, wow, and she still has great skin.
And which she does. But as I age, I must say, like, I can't hover anymore over the toilet. I have to sit. So that is definitely finding its spot with a good...
It sucked to go to a club.
Yeah.
You're freezing. You're not wearing anything. You want to dress scandalously.
You can't afford the $2 coat check.
That's right.
So you wear this outfit.
That's why I went and played darts.
-20.
And got a pint of beer. Talking about. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
Ben's
it
Tavern, Camelton, New Brunswick.
All right. Well, listen, I'm making a real kind of a weird switch, but kind of not, because if you club back in the day, you remember wearing one size fits all pantyhose. Apparently, they're back in fashion. It's part of the fashion experts at the Kit are saying. So what do you think? Are you a fan? Pantyhose, yay?
Well, I'm a fan
nay?
Of a lot of hose going on right here.
There's a lot of hose bowing on. Thank you. Thanks, Cynthia.
I resemble that remark.
Excuse you. Judging the people who go to the club. No. I go to the pub. I like darts and beer.
I got furry boots on.
I don't deal with the hose girls over there.
Furry boots. Oh, like.
Wow.
You're wearing
that reputation she gets, our audience is like, Cynthia's the nicest. No. She's the meanest and judgiest.
Just look at the two sets of footwear and
Let's unpack the word. I'm laughing because of the way that was a double entendre. But the word pantyhose, nobody wants to say those two words together.
Yeah.
It's gross, pantyhose. You guys are wearing tights, what I would consider to be tights.
Yeah, that's the rebrand.
Like, yeah.
But in America, in this article, they consider fishnets and those pantyhose.
No. Yeah. Those are stockings. Here's how you break it down. The stuff you're going to wear when you're staying at home with your lover, those aren't pantyhose. The stuff that you're wearing when you go out and then you're sweating all day and it's like horrible, those are pantyhose. Nobody wants the pantyhose anymore. Since shapewear, they're out the window for
me. Well, I think I could use it today. To be honest, like my legs, a lot of viewers pointed, like my knees apparently are not great. And so like, I mean, I've lived a life. And
oh,
so when you want to go like, you know, like bare legged, a pantyhose, clothes, like, or just a stocking, can at least
make leg makeup.
They look tacky now, but at least they could pull your legs together in a way. I get why people still try to wear them. Just don't call them pantyhose.
Well, I mean, listen, Kate Middleton is famous for wearing them. Don't wear them with open toe shoes.
But remember, they always came up to here, like they come right up under your boobs.
Remember the ones that came in an egg
for some people, right? Yeah. What's that?
Remember the ones that came in an egg?
Yes.
I'm showing my age.
I'm sorry, they used
an
to come
egg?
In a what?
Yeah,
an egg. They're called legs.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. The camera guys remember it.
Same time that Daisy Fresh Bras came in a little.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe, we're going to Google it after.
Maybe the kind of hose that we were into is the new egg lady section.
We tavern hose were wearing something else.
Yeah. Maybe the,
is this
Boy,
where we're
this
supposed
turned into something
Maybe that
else
was
quick.
Too classy for too, me and Mel.
Yeah, there it was. This went places we never thought it would.
Our friend told us what she thinks of us.
Yeah, clearly.
I love you both. I love you both very much.
Love you and your niece, too.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.